download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
It sure does. It's an old word from... I mean, I don't know it from any other place except Shakespeare, where it means God's wounds. You know, it's like saying damn. In a sense, ouch. It's almost like an antiquated swear word. But
which swear word?
Damn. But it kind of came because when you have to name an album, you know, you've got to come up with some snazzy word to sum up all your lyrics, all your meanings, everything, all you've experienced, all the sounds, all of the will be and was. And in one word, and that's completely stupid, really. And unless you've got a title track, you just kind of got to pick something. And Zan's stuck with us.
But so, when it was coined, it really seemed to like fit the slot quite perfectly, because it is sort of old worldly and it is incredibly sort of futuristic and at the same time very daggy.
Chris Cody, who's worked with TV on the radio before, he helped produce. Tell us about that guy. Did you get along with him as a producer?
Yeah, we did. We did. He came out here actually in Australia for 4 weeks, and his mindset is very much similar to ours. And the albums he's been part of, TV on the radio, yeah, all have a very similar way of wanting to make albums, which isn't slick and overproduced, but it is a lot of attention to detail and experimenting with as many sounds and as many tracks as you can on your record. So we were doing tracks where the tracks you're hearing have about 120 tracks on them, you know,
really?
Overdubs, guitars, horns, little broke, like your little things here and there, little samples, everything. And we were like, oh my God, we've got 120 tracks. And he goes, that's nothing. You know, TV on the radio have 150. So
in fact, he was getting upset that the studio here in Sydney couldn't handle the amount of tracks that he wanted to put in there.
He sounds
was
a little bit big for his boots.
Well, that and insane.
Yeah, he would be the first person who would like to see himself as one of those zany, crazy record producer guys.
Was he easy or difficult to be around in that regard? Did you find that inspiring to be around someone who was kind of a little bit nuts?
Well, the thing where we tended to butt heads with Chris Cody is simply methods of working, and our ideals were in line, but when it came to methods, that's where things got a bit frustrating at times. And that's what the one thing we learnt, you know, when you're creating something and you're working with people, that's just what it is. You're just working with each other for an end result.
Well, you're zen about it now, but in the time, was there kind of conflict that made it difficult to look forward and think, okay, is there going to be an end to this?
Not a visible conflict.
Yeah, not a visible.
There's no fisticuffs.
Look,
no.
The album did go on for a long time, and it was remixed a number of times. I mean, I think with a band like ourselves, we've got a very strong identity and we know what we want. And I think for anyone to come into that fold, be them friends or touring partners or producers, I think it's hard for anyone probably, because we do have strong ideals. And so that's a kind of part of, I think, how relationships work in the studio. You've got to match your ideals with theirs a little bit, and it's a bit confusing.
Well, you moved through another couple of people that helped you out with the record as well, Wayne Connolly and also Scott Horscroft. How did those guys get involved, and why did you need them to be involved when you had this big-name American producer helping you in the first place?
It was in the mixing stages of the album, the final stages, and, you know, certain songs we were really happy with. And then other things which, you know, say, for example, a song like Miniature Alas, which has so many layers and so much denseness, and the outro has to build and build, and we got that song and we knew it could be perfect, and it just wasn't. And, you know, someone like Chris, he thought it was perfect, and so we needed to get Scott involved. And we got it to a point where, you know, maybe he thought it was perfect as well. For us, we were like, it's not perfect yet. And so Wayne
got
involved.
It's the band driving the producers all the way through.
It was. It was the band driving these poor engineers and
producers.
These
poor whipping boys.
Crazy. Yeah, we're sorry, guys. But, hey, you know, the album's
out. I never thought
out.
Dappled Cities were such taskmasters.
Oh, absolutely. We look like little indie schmindy polite gentlemen, but on the inside we're
mean.
We're angry.
About the Gacken. What the hell is a Gacken?
That was something that Chris Cody brought to the session, and it was a Japanese synthesizer that arrived via eBay in the back of a magazine, and so you popped it out of the little cardboard housing and constructed it yourself.
Yeah. Amazing. Just genuinely amazing.
Electric synthesizer?
Yeah, just a little...
Cardboard electric.
Cardboard electric synthesizer that sounded a bit like this.
How did you come across this? I mean, how did he find it?
Well, producers, anybody who's in a band, and particularly American producers, anyone will know that they like to spend a lot of time on the internet. That's apart from making records, their second favorite pastime is looking at on the internet. And so, you know, he just trawls sites and finds gear all the time. And one of these things came up, and it was one of those things where on YouTube, there's like a man, this Japanese man who's a virtuoso on the Gacken. And he's like, I'm just going to play Beethoven's Ninth. Well, he doesn't speak like that, but, you know, on the Gacken, and you see this thing, and he's like... And you're like, that's the best thing I've ever seen. And then you get it. It's $30. And nobody's a virtuoso, but he had to have it. And it came in very, very handy.
Well, I think it's featured on every single song somewhere.
Wow. It. Just buried in there in the mess of sounds.
That's it.
When you've got, like, when you're sitting there late at night and you think, what? What else does this song need? I don't know, it's not there. You just go, well, let's just try the Gherkin, I guess.
And it was so portable, it could just sit there right next to the control desk. And so when that moment came, everyone's eyes would just turn to the little Gherkin in the corner.